Okay, we're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Shechato al menat lahaniach et damo o emurav lemachar. So the concept that we saw earlier in the Gemara in the position of Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Chav Zayin, which is a person here shechted the animal with the intent of leaving the blood or the emurim till tomorrow. So as opposed to your normal machshava of chutz lezmano, which is that you intend to be makriv the dam ala mizbeach, or the emurim naktir them ala mizbeach tomorrow. Here you have no positive thought in your action. All you do is leave it until machar. O lo tziyan lechutz, or to take them outside. Your intent is not to be makriv them outside. Your intent is not to do the zrikat dam outside. Simply you're going to take them outside. So this is, there's a problematic machshava, but there's no action associated with the problematic machshava. It's a passive machshava, which is you'll wait till tomorrow or you'll take it outside. Rabbi Yehuda posel. Rabbi Yehuda says that is problematic, whereas chachamim machshirim. Chachamim say that's not chutz limkomo, that's not chutz lizmano, and therefore it's not a machshava psul. Amnat linatein agabi akevesh. The person has in mind, in order to put the items onto the ramp, shalokin neged ha'yisod, the matnot dam cannot neged ha'yisod, again, which is the southeastern side of the mizbeach, v'litena tenit adim lamalan lamato, he intends to put blood that should have gone above the chutah sikra, below the chutah sikra, v'anit adim lamato, blood that should be sprinkled on the mizbeach, below the chutah sikra, lamalan, above, v'anit adim bifnim b'chutz, blood that should end up inside of the Kodesh, and instead, he places on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, v'tenitanim b'chutz, that which should have been sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, bifnim, he does it inside, sheyochlu tameim, that it should be consumed by those that are tamei, now sheyakrivu tameim, or that tameim should do the hakrava. Over here we're talking about the Akturat Imurim, which is not me'akev the korban. We're not talking about the zrikat adam over here, but we're talking about the zrikat adam is what does the kapara, makes the korban into a kosher korban. But the akhtarat imurim thereafterwards, that they will be done, the hakrava of those imurim will be done yidei tmeim. Sheyochlu arelim, that should be consumed by those that do not have a brit milah. Sheyakrivu arelim, or that those that don't have a brit milah should again do the akhtarat imurim. Lishaber atzamot ha-pesach, to break the bones of the Korban HaPesach, le'echol mehimenu na, or to eat the Korban HaPesach raw, or not fully cooked, le'arev damo b'dam ha-psulim, to mix up the dam of the Korban that you're working with dam ha-psulim, dam that is inappropriate to end up on the Mizbeach. Kasher, in all these instances, the Korban is fine. She'ein machshava poselet ele b'chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo. The only problematic machshava is what the Torah tells us. Chutz lizmano, if you have intent to be to the zrikat adam, achilat mizbeach, or achilat adam, chutz lizmano, outside of the proper time, or chutz limkomo, out of the proper location. On top of that, you have the additional machshava that can hurt you, which is that by a Pesach and Chatat, which have a demand for lishma, if you do them lo lishma, that will also be posel. So we have, these are the psulim that we know about in terms of thought. In terms of machshava, it's a very limited set of items that create a problem in terms of machshava. They are lo lishma, chutz lizmano, and chutz limkomo. So my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree in the first piece in the Mishnah, which is shachato amanat laniach adamo o emurav, where he intends to leave it, but not to actively be makriv it? That Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, shrei k'tai k'tivi b'notar. There are two psukim found about notar. Katuv echad omer lo tutiru mimenu ad boker. By the Korban HaPesach, it says you may not leave from it until the morning. And do not, again, leave it over, but here it uses the term yaniach instead of the term lehotir. We don't need a pasuk, another pasuk about leaving it over, because we already have the pasuk of lo totiru mimenu ad boker. So lo yaniach mimenu ad boker in its pashtut, in the pashup shat, is unnecessary. So therefore, let us take that and use it for machshevet hinuach. Someone has a machshava to leave it over, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. You simply have a machshava, instead of chutz limkomo, you have a machshava of leaving it. Or instead of chutz lizmano, again, you have a machshava of leaving it, you will be posel the korban in that instance. Where it says, Rabbi Yehuda, I kora lo hachi hu da'ato. That's what Rabbi Yehuda does with this pasuk of lo yaniyachu menu ad boker. Right? Hi, mi bailei l'tanyo. Then we need for the brighter. But it says by the korban ha'todah, which is where the lo yaniyachu menu is found, Vasar zevach todat shlamav. So it says about the korban ha'todah, it uses a description, we'll call it, more flowery than was necessary. The Torah could have simply read Ve'atodah, right, or the Korban HaTodah. Instead it says Basar Zevach Todat Shlamav, which is very flowery and extraneous words. Lamanu L'Todah Sh'ne'achelet L'Yom V'Layla. Then we know that a Todah is eaten for a single day and a night. That's the part of the Todah that's like Kodshei Kodashim, which is that it's limited in its time of consumption, which is it can only be eaten on the day that it's brought, as well as the subsequent night. Chalipin, vladot, tmurot, minayim. How do I know that all of these additional items also have that same restriction? Chalipin is a case, as Rashi describes over here, a case where his todah got lost. He was mafrish another todah to replace it, and then he found the original todah. The second todah that he's mafrish is called chalipin. So in that case, the chalipin is brought as a todah. It has the same restriction of yom v'layla. Vladot, a todah which is a subset of shlamim, can also be a nekeva. Since it can be a nekeva, it can also have a vlad. A vlad of a todah has a din that also can only be consumed for yom v'layla. Tmurot, where you try to do tmurah, you try to exchange the animal for another animal. You say zu tachat zu. You want to make a behemat chulim, replace it. So there we say, hu utmurato ya kodesh. The original animal as well as the new animal are kodesh. That new animal that you tried to exchange it onto is kodesh. And how do we know that it also has a restriction of yom v'layla? Tamal omar, ubasar. The extra word ubasar teaches us here that it should have just written vitodato. So the extra word of basar comes to teach us the drasha that anything associated with the todah, that means chalipin, vladot, and tumrot, will also have that restriction of yom v'layla. Chatat ve'asham minayin. How do we know that kodshei kodashim, the chatat and asham that are consumed, how do we know consumed by the kohanim, how do we know that they're also limited to yom v'layla? Tamalomar zevach uses the extraneous word in the pasuk of zevach. That word zevach tells me that this pasuk, which is speaking about the restriction, the time restriction of consuming the todah, not only applies to the todah and all of its, call it accessories, anything like tumrah, vlad, and chalipin, but also zevach, which will include a chatat and Hashem. Uminayin rabot shamei nazir, vishamei pesach. How do I know that it also to include a shlamim of a nazir and the shlamim of a pesach, that they are also limited to yom v'layla? Tamalomar shlamav, the extra word of shlamav. Lachmei todah, vichalot, virikim kim shebenazir minayin. How do I know that the lechem that comes along with the todah, as well as the chalot and the rikikim that come with the nazirs, the korban of the nazir, minayin, how do I know those are also all restricted to yom v'layla? Tamalomar karbano. That it says the word karbano. The kulan, korin, ani, behem, lo yaniach. So that pasuk says, lo yaniach menu ad boker, tells you if you can't leave it over until the morning, that means that the period of consumption is yom, the day you brought it, laila. By the time you reach the morning, it says, lo yaniach menu ad boker, then it's already notar. That tells you that the limitation of the period in which these can be consumed is yom v'layla. That we learn out from the pasuk of lo yaniach menu ad boker, which starts out with, ubazar zevach tovat shlamav. So all of these limudim that we had in the pasuk from the extraneous words, instead of saying the word v'todah, teaches that all of these are restricted with lo yaniach menu ad boker, that they only can be consumed for yom v'layla. Where it says, imkein, lemakra, lototiru. You could have learned all of this out of the pasuk, even if the pasuk had concluded with lototiru mimenu ad boker. My lo yaniach. So then why did it change its lashon to lo yaniach? Menu inyan leinuach, teo inyan lemachshevet inuach. So we can actually, in the end, we can learn two things out of the pasuk. The bazar, zevach tovat shomav, which is the introduction to the pasuk, that teaches all these additional items that are included. Had the pasuk then concluded lototiru mimenu ad boker, I would have known all that information. The fact that the Torah also switched the verb from totiru to yaniach, or lo yanichu mimenu, that teaches me the additional item of machshevet hinuach. So Gemara says, hatinach lahaniach. You, Rabbi Elazar, only solved one problem in the Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Yehuda argues about two things. Yehuda argues about le'aniach or le'hotzi. He says you can do one of these two things. If you intend to leave it until tomorrow, that's instead of chutz lizmano. He also says le'hotzi, you have intent to take it out of the proper location but not do anything with it, that's instead of chutz limkomo. So if you've only explained to us the machshevet hinuach, where's the source for Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the machshevet le'hotzi? So that's what the Gemara just said. That's hatinach lehaniach in the Mishnah. Lehotzi, ma'ikah lemeimar. The ode. Time of the Rabbi Yehuda Subaruhu. Rabbi Yehuda's position is a logical argument, not sourced from the psukim. So this is a second problem. They're asking on Rabbi Elazar, who's trying to explain Rabbi Yehuda. One, you've only explained one of the two positions of Rabbi Yehuda. And number two, sorry, that Rabbi Yehuda's position is really just logical. The Tanya. Number bright, to Amar Lahem Rabbi Yehuda. Don't you agree with me, if you leave over a karban to the next day, it becomes pasul, meaning notar. Notar is pasul. Then so too, the makshava, makshavet hinuach, should also be pasul. So the same thing you could say, and that's what the little star says, you could say the same thing with the hutza'ah. So too, don't you agree that if you took a korban out of the boundaries that it's supposed to be in, that it's pasul? So too, if you have a machshava to take it out of the boundaries, that should also be pasul. So you see here that Rabbi Yehuda's position is premised, el taimo, the Rabbi Yehuda svari, that it's a logical argument. If there's a psul for doing something bifoal, taking an action, then certainly, if you have a machshava about it, that should also create a psul. Just like chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo, if you physically did them, they are psulim or problematic. So too, when you have a machshava about them, they're problematic. So he says the same thing with hinuach and hotzi. They both are problematic if you actually do them. So certainly, the machshava should be problematic. So now the Gemara asks, okay, now we understand where Rabbi Yehuda's position comes from. Why don't we, Rabbi Yehuda only argues on the first two items in the Mishnah, which is the hinuach and the hotzi. What about the subsequent items in the Mishnah, the whole list in the Mishnah? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue there? V'niflok nami Rabbi Yehuda bikulhu. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue on all of these others? So Gemara says, behind niflok. What do you want him to argue on? Which one of the psulim that's in our Mishnah that we say is kasher, does not affect the korban? Which one of those items would you like him to argue about? Let's take them one by one. Bishaver atzamot ha-pesach v'lechol mimenu na. If you want to talk about, let's talk about breaking the bones of the Pesach, or eating from it when it's not properly cooked. Zivcha gufei mi mifso. Let's think about this. If he actually brought a korban on Pesach, and then he broke the bones afterwards, or he brought a korban on Pesach and doesn't cook it appropriately, is the korban on Pesach pasul? The answer is no. The korban already ended up on the mizbeach. The dam was done. He was nitzchah. The chaberi did the korban on Pesach. He's doing something after the fact to the korban. It's something post the acceptance of the korban. The breaking of the bones of a korban pesach is asur, but it doesn't affect the korban itself. It's not something integral to the korban, it's something external to the korban. So if it's not going to be pasul when you actively do it, then how could you suggest that you have a machshava about it that it should be pasul? That makes no sense. So he's not going to argue over there. So now, let's take the next case. Amanat yochlu tmeim. Again, the next piece of the Mishnah is a case where you do it with the condition or the intent to feed it to Tmeim, or that the Tmeim should bring the do the Haktarat Emurim. Zivcha gufei mi mifsa. We ask the same question again, which is that if you actually brought the Korban HaPesach, did the Zrikat Adam or the Shvichat Adam Kenegere Yisod, it was a kosher Korban HaPesach, and then you have Tmeim eat from it afterwards. Or you have the Tmeim be Makriv the Emurim, that's true of this Korban, Pesach, any other Korban, that doesn't affect the Korban. Both of those are what we call Shairei Mitzvah. They are not integral to the Akravata Korban ala Mizbeach. And therefore, if you actually did it, it would not be problematic. Then when you have a Machshova about it, certainly in that case, it's not going to be problematic. And the same thing, Shiachua Yerilim, Zivcha gufa mi mifsal. The zevach itself is not pasul. If that's the case, then what do you want Rabbi Yehuda to argue about? Rabbi Yehuda's logic is that if you did it actively, if you took the action that you're thinking about, it would be pasul. So certainly the machshava should be pasul. Over here, you're asking him to argue on cases where the action itself does not make the korban pasul. The action itself doesn't make the korban pasul. What makes you have a havamina that the machshava should also be pasul? Lishna achrina. Another lashon over here is, who is going to listen to him? What right does he have to do these machshavot? Which is, as Rashi explains here, mi ish malo lakrivo b'psul. Who's going to let him do this inappropriately? A kohenim tmeim lo ish malo lo. If it's a kohen tmei, he's not going to listen to him. V'chein ha'arilim tmeim lo ish malo lo. And ha'arilim tmeim, I'm not going to listen to him. Olo echol kodesh b'aveira. Who's going to eat this? Just to eat the kodesh when you have tumat aguf? Who's going to listen to him? Hilkach ein machshavato machshava b'davar atului b'achirim. Your makshava can't impact the korban when it's dependent on others listening to you. You don't have the ability to exercise what you're saying in your mind. If, by cases of chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo, you could take the korban and do it yourself in that way. In the cases of laniach or lachutz, you can leave the korban over. You have that ability to do it on your own. Therefore, your makshava can impact. Whereas, in cases here where you're dependent on others listening to you, then we can't say that your makshav should have any impact. Who's going to listen to him? Even in reality, if he wants Tmeim to eat it, you'll say to the Kohanim Tmeim, come and eat it. Say to the Kohanim Tmeim, go and be makrivit. They'll say to him, sorry, we're not going to do that. So just like they could refuse in reality, so his makshava can't have any impact here because he does not have in himself the ability to execute on what he's thinking about. Since he's dependent on others to execute what he's thinking about, that's not called a makshava. A makshava is only potent in the sense when you have the ability to execute it yourself and to do it yourself.
If he shechted on that lizrot esdam shelob ismano, he can't lizrot the dam either. It's a zaris the mashkiv.
I think it's a good question. The only thing I can think of to differentiate between them is that when it comes to machshevet chutz lizmano, and then you want the kohen to put the dam on the mizbeach the next day, over there the kohen has no idea where that dam is from. He has no idea if it was yesterday's dam, today's dam. You could have just presented to him. There's nothing obvious about the dam that is problematic. On the other hand, when you come to Tmeim or Psulim, where you're asking them to actually do Avodah, they themselves know that they're Tamei or Pasul, and therefore they can't execute on the Avodah. I think that's the way you would have to differentiate between these different cases with the dependence on others to do it. So even though by Chutz Lizmano, he's still depending on the Kohen to do the Nitinat Adam on the Mizbeach, but again, the Kohen has no idea what the story behind this Dam is. He just knows that it's a Korban that needs the Dam to put on Mizbeach. He has no idea if it was yesterday's, today's, or if there's any Machshav associated with it, and therefore it is within his hands to present it to the Kohen and give it, as opposed to cases where the Kohen is aware of the problem, and then you're asking him to do something wrong. There, it's not in your control. Alright, the Gemara now moves on to the next set of items. Larev minad badam psulim. To mix it in with dam psulim. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue over there? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say if you have a machshava to be ma'ariv the dam, which is in your control, or, again, it's something that does affect the zevach, because it's pre-zrikat the dam, so that would be problematic with the machshava. Rabbi Yehuda letamei. Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitato, which we saw yesterday, is the mar ein dam mevatel dam. The dam can't ruin other dam. It's not batel. When you mix the dam tzulim with the dam ksherim, it's still, the dam kasher is still significant enough in there, because it's not in batel, that you could be makrib that on the mizbeach. Tosafot yesterday told us how you do that. Either you sprinkle all the blood on the mizbeach with the intent that the blood that is kasher will end up on the mizbeach, whereas the blood that is pasul will be like mayim, like water. Or, Tosus yesterday spoke about Dam HaTamsit, who said that Dam HaTamsit does not affect Dam HaNefesh. Here, that wouldn't be relevant because we're talking about Dam Psulim. So now, the Tain Etanitanim Lamala Lamato, Lamato Lamalo. If here he intends to do it in the wrong location, Rabbi Yehuda Letamei, Demar Shalom Kim Komo, Nami Mikomo Karinin Bey. When you do it in the wrong location, it's considered as if you did it in the right location. So since when you put the malo lamata, when you physically do it in the wrong location, it's not a psul. Then when you have a machshava to do it in the wrong location, that's also not going to be psul. So that's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitate, which would be that shalom kimo is kimkomo dami, which is three. What you asked on the Mishnah, what is the problem of nitan the malo lamata? The answer is depends. If you think shalom kimo is kimkomo dami, there's no problem. If you believe shalom kimo is lo bimkomo is problematic, then there's a problem here because you put it in the wrong location.
So, the one that said that it's kosher.
Right. So he says, Shalomim Komo is Shalokim Komo Dami. When you put it in the wrong location, it's totally wrong and has no benefit to the Korban whatsoever. And therefore the Korban, if you go back and redo the Dam and Nefesh, that's what we saw in the previous Mishnah, you recollect the Dam and Nefesh and redo it. Right. Then it'll be okay. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he believes Shalom Kimo is Kim Komo Dami. Then when you put it in the wrong location, it's as good a Korban. And if a Kohen did it, not a Pasul, but a Kohen did it, then it'd be fine. So either way you want to formulate it, the korban will be could be fine. Either because shalom kimo is kim kimo dami, it's a kosher korban, or shalom kimo is lav kim kimo dami, and you go back and do the kabbalat adam and you redo it. So because of that, since Rabbi Yehuda holds of one of those two positions, which is Rabbi Yehuda holds shalom kimo is kim kimo dami, that means when you do it now, the reason the korban is kasher when you do it in the wrong location is because it is kasher. The korban's fine. Then having a machshavet psul is not hurt you. It's not going to make a difference over here. So next one, v'liflog bini. Let him argue about a machshava in a case where he does what's inside, outside. Or that which he puts outside, that he puts inside. So as Rashi points out here, the question is only one of these two. It's not in both of them. That in din b'chutz, something that you have put outside, that you have a machshava to put the mifnim, that's what the Gemara is arguing, asking about. Because we have an explicit pasuk, where if you take the blood that of something that's supposed to be on the mizbeach kitzon, and you're machnis it into the echal, we say that the pasuk says, v'chol chadat asher yuvav midama pnima, then any chadat that has the dam taken inside the echal is automatically pasul. So there we know when you actively do it, it is pasul. Therefore, by machshava, it also should be pasul, according to Rabbi Yehuda's logic. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here. So this is something that we saw previously on the Daf Chav Tet, which is, I'll explain it according to Rashi's Shita. Just to note that Tosos back there on Daf Chav Tet offers up alternatives, three or four alternatives to Rashi's Pshat. I'll quickly flip back in a second and show you them. But Rashi says that Makom Mishulash means a place or location in which you can do all three items. What are the three items? Zrikat Adam, you can have Achilat Basar, and Akrovat Emurim. Those three avodot on a korban, which are the three components of a korban, zrikat adam, the haftarat emurim, and the chilat basar, all of those, you have to do it in a location, bishlishi. We darshan from the word shlishi means mishulash, a location that, where you're entitled to do all three of those items. In that case, that's where you can have a makshava that is posel. Makshava is only posel in an area where all three of those are true. Where is that? So according to Rashi, outside of the mikdash, that is true. What do you mean it's true? You can't be Zrikat Adam outside the Mikdash. You can't do Hakravat Emurim outside the Mikdash. Rashi says, yes, in the time of the Bamot, the time of Hatarat Bamot, when there was no Mikdash, or between the time of Shiloh Mikdash, where you were allowed to bring Bamot, in that instance, you were allowed to bring inside of Yerushalayim, you were allowed to bring whatever you wanted in those locations. Therefore, there was a period of time in which the entire Yerushalayim had Hatarah for all three of these items. Where is the location where you don't have all three of these? That's the Heichal. The Heichal only has the Zrikat Adam, only has the Matnot Dam. It does not have Aktaret Emurim, it does not have Achilat Basar. It doesn't have any of those two items, so there's additional two items there. And therefore it's not a Makoma Meshulash, and Machshava won't be Posel. Because the Pasuk of Chutz Lizmano, or Chutz Limkomo, depending how you darshan over there, has the word shlishi in it, and the word shlishi, which is extraneous, we darshan for mishulash, a location that has an area, the machshava only posel if you think about an area that has all three of these items, or is relevant to these three items. That's outside the mikdash, but not in the eichal. That is shitat Rashi. On the other hand, Tosafot, back on Chavtet Amud Aleph, brings down other options, some of which he rejects, some of which are not are problematic. V'yesh b'farshim, makom mishulash ha'inu b'inan shi'amod ha'machshava b'makom mishulash. So there has to be in a place where you're standing, where it's a makom mishulash. Prat, no meid b'chutz b'zara v'shochet b'sakin aruka. Right, so that's one, which is somewhat similar to Rashi. You have to be standing in a location where it's a makom mishulash. That's one. Another one is a Rav Yom Tov Mefarish. Makom Mishulash Hanu Shiachshov Lizrok B'Makom Shadam Basar V'Emurim Post Pesulim. In a location where if you took the Dam of the Basar and the Emurim, they'd all be Pasul. So that's, if you take them outside the Azara, all three of them would be Pasul. If you go into the Echal with them, only the Dam is Pasul when you go inside. The Basar and the Emurim, if you take them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim or into the Kodesh, they would not be Pasul. So only Yerushalayim has a problem with Machshava, but not inside the Eichal. So again, that's the answer here for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Machshava does not apply to the Eichal. Machshava is not impactful when it comes to the Heichal. For whatever reason that it's not considered Makom Meshulash, either according to Rashi, because you can't have all three things, items done there, according to Rabbi Yom Tov, because all three things do not become Pasul when you take it in there. For whatever the reason, that Machshava about the Heichal is not relevant. Only Machshava outside of the Azara is meaningful in terms of Machshavot Pasul. Where it says, Umi Itle Rabbi Yehuda Haisvara. Does Rabbi Yehuda really believe that? That you need Makom Meshulash about your Machshava about Tanya? But right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Davar Ra. Boom, boom, kol davar ra. So over here, you're trying to bring a korban that is inappropriate, either because it has a mum in it, or kol davar ra. What is kol davar ra? Riba kan chatat sheshachta bidarom. Included in this is a chatat that was shechted on the southern side instead of the northern side, south, which chatat is a kodshei kodashim, and you're doing it in the south instead of the north. Chatat shenichnas dama lifnim. And a chatat whose blood was taken inside the heichal. Psulam. So both of those are psula, and therefore they are inappropriate to be put on the mizbeach. So that's what the dovara comes to include. Now, if that's true, Rashi says over here, the achnasa that we're speaking about over here, taking the dam inside of the kodesh, that cannot be speaking about achnasa mamash. Can't be literally taking it in, because we know that from an explicit pasuk. There's an explicit pasuk, lo yuvlad dama, that you're not allowed to bring its dam inside. We have an explicit pasuk telling us it's pasul when you take the blood inside of the heichal. So what is the achnasa that's being included here by davara? So as Rashi points out, that lav achnasa mamash kamazarle, elo b'machshevet achnasa, when you have intent to take it in. We're talking about a zevach. And now the Torah calls that a davara, ama mifsal. So you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have a machshava to take it into the Eichal, the machshava does impact and make it pasul. You just said to me before, Rabbi Yehuda holds of the shita that if you have a machshava about taking it into the Eichal, it's not impactful, it's not meaningful. Because machshava only is meaningful when it's outside of the Azara, not when it's in the Eichal. But here we see, explicitly, Rabbi Yehuda has a machshava about achnasa bifnim, and he says pasul. So the Mara says, wait a minute, v'leile Rabbi Yehuda shlishi? Hey, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this position? So far we have a suggestion that Rabbi Yehuda holds of this position of Mishulash or Shlishi, which means that the Eichal is not impactful when it comes, or Machshava is not impactful when it comes to the Eichal. We brought a proof against that because we had a Braita in which Rabbi Yehuda says that there is a Pasul if you have a Machshavet Achnasa. And then now we're Gemara's going to challenge that and say, is that really true? We have another Braita which seems to imply the opposite, that he does hold of that position. Which is, that if he takes it inside bishogeg, then it's kasher. If he did it intentionally, then pasul. Gemara over there says, that this is a case, bishikiper. He put the blood al gabi amizbeach, and Rabbi Yehuda says, pasul. And he's not mifsal bahach nasa. He doesn't say that the problem is the entering or the thought to enter the blood into the inside. It's only bikiper when he actually puts the blood on the inner mizbeach. So we kind of look at hashta mahatam aile ikiper in ilogo. There where he physically takes it into the heichal. Only if he places the dam on the mizbeach apnimi is it pasul. But if he doesn't place the dam on the mizbeach apnimi, it's not pasul. Here where he only intends to do it, lo koshukin, that it wouldn't be problematic if he just simply intends to take the blood inside of the heichal. So Mary answers up, trade tonight, valibad Rabbi Yehuda. These are two Tanaim in the position of Rabbi Yehuda. One Tana believes that Rabbi Yehuda holds of this limitation of shlishi, of mishulash, that machshava with regards to the echal is not meaningful, it has no impact. There's another Tana who says yes, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that when it comes to entering items into the Eichal, that if you have a machshava to do such, that they will be impactful. So you have those two positions in Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll just suggest that the Tana in Rabbi Yehuda's position who believes that machshava to regards Eichal is meaningless will be the author of our mission over here. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda does not argue in this case about machshava. He only argues about hinuach and hotzi, but not in the case of being machniz dama pnima. Does Rabbi Yehuda really believe that a chatat, that you shecht on the southern side instead of the northern side, that you'll get malkot for that? I mean, that here he's suggesting that you did something wrong. From the pasuk of we just quoted before, which is, well, what is a davara? We just suggested that a davara is when you shecht a korban on the southern side. Now you have a lav. So if you have a lav about shechting an animal on the southern side and then putting on the mizbeach, so you get malkot if you have a lav. So we have a brayta that seems to undermine that. Rabbi Yehuda says, do you think that you had shechted a chatat on the southern side, ye'e chayav? That he will be chayav? Tamalomar, lo tizbach l'shem l'kecha shor vaseh, kol dovara. On a davara, you get shkita, but not on shechting on bidarom. What's clear from this brayta in Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think davara includes shkita bidarom, because he's excluding. He's saying davara, yes; shkita bidarom, no. So Gemara again answers up, trades naive, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. These are two Tanaim arguing the position of Rabbi Yehuda. One Tana believes that shkita bidarom is subsumed under davara, and you have another Tana who says no, that shkita bidarom is not included, because davara means mum begaloi, shimugune. It's be something that's obvious and explicit in the animal, something that you can see. That's migune, that's called davara. Shechita bidarom is not something that is obvious in the animal, and therefore would not be considered a davara. Amri Rabbi Abba, umode Rabbi Yehuda, shechozer v'kovo l'pigu'um. So Rabbi Abba comes and makes a statement of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara just cleared up for us now. The Rabbi Yehuda's position where he argues on the Chachamim based on the logic, if it's literally pasul, then b'machshav it also should be pasul, only applies to machshavat inuach, leaving it over, and machshavat hotza'ah, taking it out. Those two machshavot can be posel the animal. Rabbi Abba comes to teach us, and we learned before, that when it comes to pigul, machshavat pigul, machshavat pigul only applies if karev matirav kihilchato. If the rest of the behemah is done perfectly fine, if everything else is done right, and you just have a machshav v'chutz l'zmano, then it's pigul v'chayavim bo karet. Over here, what Rabbi Abba is suggesting is that if you have a machshava of hinuach, of leaving it over, or a machshava of halahotzi, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that does not change the status of the animal, and if you then have a machshava of chutz l'zmano, it'll be pigol and chayavin alav karet. It's the equivalent of karev matirav kehilchato. It's as if the rest of the animal was done fine. So Mar wants to know, where does he get this from? Amar Rava, Teda. I'll tell you that he's right. Tepigol lifnei zrika lo klumho. Rava's logic is, I'll be honest with you, somewhat difficult over here. I'll explain it, but I think it is not so straightforward. And both times that Rava presents logic, the Gemara is going to reject it. So we know in the end that the Gemara does not accept the Rava's logic. So we are in the Havamina, we have to try to explain what was Rava really thinking, and that I'll do my best, I'll try my best to do. Amar Rava, Teda, tepigol lifnei zrika lo klumhi. If you have a machshava of chutz l'zmano at the time of shechita, it's not meaningful. Why? What's the rule about pigul or chutz l'zmano, machshev chutz l'zmano? The matirim, the rest of the matirim have to be done properly. When you do shechita, the korban is not done. What do you need to do in order for the korban to be right and good? You need to do holacha, you need to do, kabbalat adam, holachat adam, but the most important is zrikat adam. Without zrikat adam, this korban will not be pigul. So even though you had a machshava pigul at the time of shechita, that will not become, the animal does not become pigul until the time of zrikat, zrikat adam. Because that's the completion of everything kematirav kehilchato. Bikavala bepigul. And that's what makes it into pigul. The moment of becoming pigul is not when you had the machshava at the time of shechita. It's literally at the time that you complete the rest of the avodot properly. So it's the zrika that makes it, not the shechita. So if that's the case, what Rava is trying to prove from here is the same will be too, like what Rabbi Abba says about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says if you have a machshava to do it, laniach, or the hotzi, that doesn't matter. That machshava isn't maleh umarid because pigul only comes about when you reach the zrikat adam. And when he reached the next avoda, he reached zrikat adam, he changed his mind. He changed his mind. He said, I'm not going to do laniach. I'm not going to do it bimkavo. I'm going to do it chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mkamo. Not only am I going to leave it outside, I'm going to actually do something with it outside. Not only am I going to leave it past its time, I'm going to do something with it when I leave it past its time. So he changed his machshava. When he added on to that machshava, remains pigul because he's just doing something. He's doing something before the completion of the karban, before it was actually nikva. And since he changed it before that point in time, that becomes the machshava that is koveya. He had intention originally to just laniach, to leave it. And then he changed his mind. He says, no, I'm not just going to leave it. I'm going to actually do Zrikat Adam tomorrow. And then he does the actual rest of the Karban. He does the Zrikat Adam. He has everything right afterwards. So, but the Gemara over here says, Velohi, Rava's logic doesn't stand up. Because Hatam hu, Chada Machshava, he, Hacha, Tre Machshavot. there, it was one machshava. Here, it's two machshavot. That's which is the basic, the simple problem with Rava's logic. Problem with Rava's logic is in the case of pigol, all he had was one machshava. He had one machshava pigol, and then he does all the other avodot correctly. So true, yes, Rika is koveya, but it's koveya the one machshava that he had. Over here, he had two machshavot. He had a machshava of inuach, and then he had a machshava of pigol of chutz lizmano. He had two separate machshavot. So now, when you do the zrika d'adam, which one is the zrika d'adam being koveya on? Is it koveya on the one that was pusel, the inuach, or is it koveya on the one that says pigol with it? I assume the logic, like what you were saying, which is, I think, what I'm trying to articulate, is that he's saying there really aren't two makshavot here. Right, it's a makshava plus. Which is that his makshava pigo is really just taking hinuach and saying, I'm doing hinuach plus, I'm going to be makrivit. I assume that's the logic of Rava, that the Gemara rejects and says, no, in the end, that is two separate makshavot. Ravuna, the Rabbi Abba. So now we tried to bring a proof from Rava, and the Gemara rejected the proof. Now we have Ravuna, who's questioning Rabbi Abba's position over here. Litein et anitanim lamalo lamato, that which is supposed to be in above below, lamato lamalo, la'altar kasher. If he does it immediately, then it's kasher. He has his makshavas to do it in the right time period. To do that, in the correct time period, but in the wrong location, kasher. Chazar v'chishev chutz l'mkomo. If he then afterwards has a makshavet chutz l'mkomo, pasul v'im bo karet. Chutz l'zmano, pigul v'chayalivim alav karet. If then he has another makshava of chutz lizmano, it's pigul, and it's chayv karet. Limachar, if he originally intended to do it limachar, tomorrow, to put it in the wrong location. Wrong location not being chutz limkamo, but wrong location being in the wrong place on the mizbeach. Pasul. Chazar v'chishev ben chutz lizmano, ben chutz limkamo, pasul. Afterwards, if he has another makshava of chutz limkamo, chutz lizmano, pasul, ve'im bo karet. So there's no great tiyufta, the Rabbi Abba tiyufta. Here you have a clear situation in which he has a machshava in the beginning, a machshava to do something that is otherwise not quote unquote posel, which is that first if he did it, if he had machshava to do it right away, then if he does it right away, it's fine because even though he has the wrong location on the mizbeach, that is not posel the korban because chutz l'mkomo and the wrong chutz l'mkomo here or shalom b'mkomo is kim kamo dami. Then if he wants to do it tomorrow in the wrong location, the tomorrow part already creates a problem. Now you have exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's shita is. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that I'm going to lay a niach. I'm just going to leave it over till tomorrow. Now over here, when we say nitan lamalo lamata or lamata lamala, if you do it right away, you have a machshava to do it right away, it's kasher. Because the placement of the blood in that wrong location of the mizbeach is not a psul. So if I have a machshava to do it in the wrong location right away, fine. If I have a machshava to do it tomorrow in the wrong location, then what? What did we just say? Pasul. Wait a minute. That is Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda's position is, I just wanted to leave it to tomorrow. I want to leave it till tomorrow. This is the equivalent of leaving it to tomorrow. Because your machshava about the zrika is not problematic. You're intending to put it in the wrong location on the mizbeach, but that's fine. So the only problematic machshava is that you want to leave it till tomorrow. And what do I see afterwards? If you have a machshava chutz lizmano or chutz l'mkomo afterwards, doesn't impact. So this is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda suggests that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that chutz lizmano afterwards does not impact, is okay. And over here you have a chutz lizmano afterwards, and the Gemara says, no go, because you already have another psul, which is leaving it over till machar. The Gemara says, tiyufta de Rabbi Yehuda, tiyufta. We have a very strong kash against Rabbi Yehuda. We have a breita, which is problematic for Rabbi Yehuda's position. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina Bar Sila, chishev shiochlu tmeim lamachar chayav. Person has an intention that Tmeim should eat it tomorrow, that is, Chayav. Amar Rava. So again, here, we have another statement by Rava, which presents a logic that is somewhat difficult. The basar lifnei zrika lo chazi. That if at the time of Shechita, you have a machshava, sheyochlu tmeim lemachar, that tmeim should eat it tomorrow, then you are Chayav. Well, that's the answer is, the machar is chutz lizmano, the tmeim are problematic, because tmeim are not allowed to eat it even now. Today you aren't allowed to eat it now, not allowed to eat it tomorrow. So that should create a psul here, instead of a pigul chutz lizmano. But not because, and that's what Rava's logic is, Amar Rava Teda, the basar lifnei zrika lo chazi. The tmeim, nobody can eat the basar right now. Nobody can consume the basar before zrika d'adam. And yet, your machsheva chutz lizmano impacts the korban. Even if you say, kohanim should eat it tomorrow. Kohanim to eat it tomorrow. My intent is for people to eat it tomorrow. I will eat it tomorrow. Someone who is ra'oi to eat, consume the karban, at the moment he's having his makshava, they couldn't eat it. They can only eat it tomorrow, and his makshava is still impactful. So it says same thing by tmeim. So let's say the same thing here. So what? Oh, Tameim can't eat it now. So when you have a makshava for them to eat it tomorrow, it shouldn't be meaningful. He says what? That's true of all makshavet chutz lizmano. All makshavet chutz lizmano, at the moment of shechita, where he says, I'm going to eat it tomorrow, nobody could have eaten it at that time. It's not ra'oi for achila today. It's only ra'oi after zrikat adam. So you see, this is Rava's logic, you see that not being ra'oi to eat the korban is not a psul that undermines pigul. So Gemara says, a very simple answer, which is why it's hard to understand Rava, is velohi. Hotam zorek umichze, hachal umichze klal. Over there, by the case of lifnei zrika, as soon as you do the zrika d'adam, those people will become ra'oi to eat the korban. It's a temporary problem. The temporary problem is that you're before zrika d'adam. As soon as you clear zrika d'adam, they can't eat it. By the case of machshava of tmeim lamachar, the tmeim are not ra'oi lifnei zrika, and they will not be ra'oi even after zrikat adam. They never will be ra'oi, and therefore maybe they should be pusel the karban. Rava, your proof that Rav Chisda's position is correct doesn't stand the test, because they are different. The proof that you're bringing is not the same as the case of Rav Chisda. In your case, the people will change. They went from lifnei zrika where they can't eat it to achar zrika where they can eat it. The tmeim will never be ra'oi to eat, and maybe that should be pusel. Amar Rav Chisda, margula b'fumei d'Rav Dimi bar Chinina. There was this jewel in the mouth of Rav Dimi bar Chinina, basar pesach shlo hutzla. A basar pesach that was not sleeved, was not roasted properly. The lachmei todah shlo hormu, or the lechem of the todah where you bring 40 lechem, and you have to take off one from each sug, one from each type. There are four different types. Take off four of those lechem, and you give them to the kohen. So chayavin aleim mishum tum'ah. You are chayav on them, even for tum'ah.
Yeah, even though the matter
wasn't done properly. So that's what Rashi says. Af agav de kaimelon. Even though we have she'en nitar letorim, ein chayav aleim mishum tum'ah. We saw that earlier, two daf ago, that only something that is a tahor yachal, only something that when I say a tahor can eat it, to isamei a tamei lo yachal, that a tamei cannot consume it, or that which is tamei cannot be consumed. So also over here, so even though we generally say that if a tahor can consume it, then a tamei is problematic to consume it. Over here, a tahor can't eat it. Why can't the tahor can't eat it? Because Pesach can only be eaten if it's roasted. The lachmei todah can only be eaten if you gave the fort that there's the truma to the kohen. If you don't give the truma to the kohen from the lechem todah, you can't consume it. Nevertheless, hi, came into Izrak dam over here. Since the dam was done properly, nitar l'torim karinin bay, it's still considered ra'oi l'torim, even though there's another action that must be taken in order to make them ra'oi l'achila. The main item that makes them ra'oi l'achila is zrikat adam. There's secondary items that are qualifications for eating them. You have to do it mitzli. You have to take off the truma for the kohen. True, but nevertheless, a tahor technically could eat it. What's stopping him is just doing those technical actions. It's not zrikat adam, which is an outside factor where he has to have the kohen do the zrikat adam in order to be matir these items. That's done already. They are matir the items. This little extra action, that's not a ma'akev. Omar Rava, again, Rava tries to bring a logic to prove this. Teda, Tatani, Rava Breita, Asher La Hashem, the Rabot, Imurei Kochi Kalim, Lituma. Says, Vanefesh Asher Tochal Mis Basar, Zevach Hashlamim Asher La Hashem. Somebody consumes from the Basar of the Zevach Hashlamim that goes to Hashem, then they are Chayav. So Rabot, that comes to include Imurei Kochi Kalim. The Imurim of the Kochi Kalim, Lituma. If they were eaten Bituma, it's problematic. Ama, Afagav Dlabne Achila Ninu. Even though they're not consumable, where do the emurim of the kachim kalim end up? They end up on the mizbeach. So they're not ra'oi for a tohor to eat. Nevertheless, if a tamei consumes them, he's chayav. Chayvir le'em mishum tuma. So also over here, achanami. Afagav delav b'nei achila ninu, even though in our case, the pesach, the shelo hutzla, and the lachmei todad, they're not hormu, chayvir le'em mishum tuma. They're chayav tuma. And the Gemara again rejects Rava's logic, velohi, they're not comparable. Over there by the Kochim Kalim, they are ra'ui to get on the Mizbeach. Even though it's not the Mizbeach that's consuming them now, it's a human that's consuming them, nevertheless, they have a purpose, and at that moment in time, they belong on the Mizbeach. The Zrikat Adam was done, and they at that moment, exactly, they can go on the Mizbeach without any other Ma'akev. Lafuke basar pesach shlo hutzla, v'lachmei todah shlo hormu, d'lo chazu, lo legvoa v'lo le'ajot. At that moment in time, nobody can consume the korban pesach, and nobody can consume the lachmei todah. Not Hashem, not the mizbeach, and not the adam. They're ra'oi for no one. So therefore, tumah will be problematic in the case wear it, the emurim, which is ro'oi lemizbeach, and he eats them because something, it's ro'oi for something. There's not an akev now. On the other hand, when you're talking about the chalot, or the lachmei todash lo hormu, or the b'vaisar ha-pesach that was lo hutzla, there's a ma'akev here which makes it inappropriate for everybody. Not for the mizbeach, because those things don't end up on the mizbeach, and not for achilat adam, because they still have a ma'akev until achilat adam. Since it's ro'oi for nobody, we're not going to make a tamei chayav. So again, we reject Rava's logic. So we have three statements over here where Rava tried to bring a comparable case or comparable logic to prove them. One was Rabbi Abba's statement about Moda Rabbi Yudah Shechozer v'kovol l'pigol. The second statement was Rav Chista Maravina Barsila, which is Kishiv Shechlu Tmeim L'machar is Chayav for pigol. And the last statement was Rav Chista's statement about Rav Dimi Barchinina that Basa Pesach Shlo Hutzla and Lach Meitorah Shlo Hormo. All of these cases, Rava tried to bring a proof to the logic, and the Gemara rejects Rava's logic in all of these cases. All right, I'll just start the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. Bet Shemai Omim, Kol Anitanim Al Mizbeach Chitzon, Shenatan B'Matana Achat Kiper. That anything that has to have a Matnot Dam on the Mizbeach, if you did one Matana, it works. U'b'chatat, Chatat that requires Arba Matanot ala Karnot Zukat, or Etzva on the Karnot. Every other Karban requires Shtayim Shein Arba, two out of four. So if you do one of the two, it's okay, it's Mechaper B'Dievet. By a Korban HaChatat, we have to do four Matanot on the Arba Karnot. If you do two out of the four, it's good. U'beitel Omim, Af Chatat Shnitna Matna Achat, Tiber. By the Chatat, even one Matana on the one Karen, that's enough B'Dievet. Lefikach. Now, because of their positions, we have a conclusion, which is im natana tarishona ketikana v'etashniya achut lizmana. If he did the first matnat of the chatat properly, and the second one he had a machshav of chut lizmana, kiber, according to Beit Hillel. Why? Because Beit Hillel says the only matnat dam that's me'akev is the first one, and the first one you did correctly. On the other hand, if you did the first one, chutz lizmana, v'etashniya chutz l'mkoma, pigol b'chayiv l'mkoma karet. In that case, you have pigol, and you'll be chayiv karet. Why? You did the first matana with pigol. That's the only one that's ma'akev. So your machshava there is impactful. The second matana you did chutz l'mkoma, which normally would be posel, and there wouldn't be any pigol anymore. But the second matana is not ma'akev. Since it's not ma'akev, your machshava has no impact. Anything that is placed on the inner mizbeach, the mizbeach is av, shimichiser achad min ha-matanot, kilu lo kiper. There we say that izu mekuman, matana achad mehem me'akevet. It's ma'akev. Any, you have to do all the matanot down inside. When you're doing the mizbeach is av, or inside the kodesh kodesh kodeshim, every matana is ma'akev. Therefore, lefikach, natan kulam ketikunan, if he did everything right, v'chad shalo tikunan, and he does one wrong, psulam v'ein bo karet. Then it's pasul, and there is no karet. Now, why is it only pasul and no karet? Why can't you make it into chutz lizmano and be pigol? So that's because, as Rashi points out here, this person believes that you aim a faglim b'chatzi matir. Then when you do pigol, you have to do it on the whole matir. You have to have your, whatever matir you're having the wrong makshava about, you have to have your makshava over the whole matir. Over here, when you do the matnot dam inside of the heichal on the mizbeach zav, the matir is all the matnot together as a package. So therefore, if you have a makshava about one of them incorrectly, you make it pasul, but you can't make it into pigol. And why can you make it pasul? Because each one is ma'akev. It's ma'akev, you can makshava impacts. So your makshava is impactful, but not impactful enough to make it into pigol. It's enough to make it pasul, but not into chutz lizmano. Okay, we'll stop over here.